some.
Hey, everybody. Craig from Yes Have Some Podcast here. Thank you for joining here on the feed for an unlocked episode from Yes Have Some's Patreon feed, never before available on the public feed. But we figure, what is the best way to let everybody know what Patreon is all about than letting you guys see what's in there, right? What's the mystery? What's in the box, as they say, as Brad Pitt says. Anyways, so what you are about to hear is from a couple of months ago. It is our review and breakdown of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which I believe is now available on Disney Plus and digital and DVD and all of that. So we figure now would be a timely affair to release this episode to the public. And if you like what you hear and you are interested in supporting YHS, you can get even more on the Patreon feed. It's patreon.com/yeshavesome. We have bonus episodes all the time, an archive of over 4 years of bonus audio and video content. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, we got some big stuff coming up. We have some really exciting and fun things happening over the next 6 months. We've got a new Ghostbusters movie coming out. We have events we're going to be planning. We are going to have YHS exclusive interviews, Patreon exclusives, all sorts of stuff. So for as little as $5 a month, you can get in on the Patreon feed at patreon.com/yeshavesome. So thank you guys for your support. And here in a few minutes, you will hear our review of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Good luck on your listening. We hope that you're having a great weekend. We will be back with regularly scheduled YHS programming here in the next week or so. We do have Toy Anxiety this week. We've got the Ahsoka recaps happening on Patreon. And then we are going out to New York in a couple of weeks for Toy Fair. That's right. Toy Fair is back for the first time since 2020. So we'll have a bunch of coverage from all those booths, NECA and Super 7 and McFarlane and Jada Toys and so on and so on. Lots of ghoul stuff. Did I just say ghoul stuff? That would be timely for the season. Lots of ghoul stuff happening. I'm sorry. Strike that from the record. And beyond that, we will, be posting more episodes and more video content over there on the YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody subscribing to the new Yes Have Some YouTube channel. Abby is walking by me and dancing right now.
Turn the dial, unlock the Patreon content. It's worth it.
Wow, what an advertisement. Turn the dial and unlock the Patreon, she says. So thank you for that cameo, Abigail. And there was one more thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. Let's see. I plugged Patreon. I plugged YouTube. I just did a YouTube video talking about the possibility of the new Ghostbusters trailer coming out sooner rather than later. So check that out. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. And I guess that's about it. So those are my updates. So thank you guys, as always. YHS, we love our supporters, we love our listeners, and we appreciate everybody's continued support over the last 7 years, and next year is going to be huge. I can't wait. We got a new Ghostbusters movie coming out, and that's where we shine. That's where we flourish. That's where we get our wings. Okay, let's get on to the Dial of Destiny episode. It's coming up right now. Unlocked from YHS Patreon, now on the main feed. We hope you enjoy. Okay, let's go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to YHS Podcast on Patreon. My name is Craig Goldberg. Oh, you're tuning into something special tonight. We've been wanting to do more of these full bonus episodes, and sometimes you just got to give the Patreon supporters a little extra. So tonight we're going to be talking a little Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny. And I'm sure we'll cover other topics because we tend to, be a little all over the place. And that's why you're here. Uh-oh. Jacob dropped his coin.
Toys falling in the toy room. Oh, it's your coin?
No, it was a turtle.
I was about to say, it's so fucking cool for you to bring the coin back.
I did pull the coin out of retirement the other day, but it's in the other room right now.
Jake, do you ever feel do you guys ever feel pressure to perform on these podcasts? Like
I don't give a fuck what they want.
Okay,
I don't do it for them.
the other night we were in the middle. I meant to bring this up while it happened. I thought Toy Anxiety was great this week. We had a lot of fun, a lot of viewers. Views are way up. You can always tell when there's more people tuning in because there's a lot of comments that are like people who clearly have never watched us before. Like this one guy left a comment goes, so did you guys actually talk about this DeLorean or was it just some sort of clickbait? I'm like, dude, we did. Just it's a 2-hour show.
Right. We had a meeting about the podcast. We said, let's only do clickbait.
Did you see the comment we got? It wasn't on the live show. It was just on the show that said, I like this podcast, but Dole tries too hard. It isn't very funny.
Well, this is what I was... Everybody has a favorite and a least favorite, and it's different for every kind of person. And that's just the way it goes. But during the stream the other night, somebody was like, Jake hasn't talked as much tonight. I don't think this episode's as good because Jake hasn't talked as much. I was like, first of all, we've all been talking the whole time.
Who said that?
Calm the fuck down. Yeah, I think that's too much.
You've got that one guy who sometimes his name is Jacob Walsh Fan Club or whatever. He loves you.
Yeah.
He's excited. I'm not convinced that person likes me. It feels like a troll.
Mm.
That feels like it's the opposite. It feels like that person dislikes me and they're making fun.
It's a thin line like between admiration and murder.
Yeah. Usually, yeah. I'd have to say. I think
feels like a troll account to me. I'm weirded out by it. I want to know who it is.
But a very, very supportive troll account.
Are they on?
Yeah,
are they noticed on Patreon?
I don't think so. I don't know.
But whenever like Craig's like connection gets bad on the show and it's just you talking, Jake, it's like this dude's so happy. He's like, finally, we all get what we deserve. Admiration of you. That's how I feel. I think that you're like kind of a tough cookie and people look at you and they want you to like them. So
hey,
like,
I'm cookie, man.
You're a cookie. You know what? Everyone has a least. Just kidding.
Everyone has a least favorite. That's going to be the name of the episode. Well, we don't, you guys know who we are, but I think everyone's having a good day.
Yeah, it's just acting like we were live for a minute.
No, it's fun.
Go to the chat.
Listen, you're behind the paywall. You get a little bit of the extra insight into our psychology, which is really scary. No, we all saw Dial of Destiny. We haven't really had a chance to break it down too much. And we know it's so weird. Let me start this off. Indiana Jones is one of those franchises in the same vein as Ghostbusters, Star Wars, Back to the Future, all the stuff we love, but it's never been like my number one. I mean, I probably have only seen Last Crusade once in my life. Like those are not movies I watched as a kid at all. Parents didn't care about them. I saw them, you know, at friends' houses or whatever. It wasn't till more like the last couple of years where I've started showing more of an interest. But Jake, I just want to start with you. Where are you on Indiana Jones, just like as a franchise?
For some reason, I thought you were going to say as a friend.
As a friend.
Yeah.
Like we're pretty good friends.
You're in a bind.
Every couple months we call.
Supportive.
Okay. So you don't even call him. You call him by his Christian name.
Yeah. Henry. I don't have to call him doctor.
Okay, or not Henry, Indy. What's his real name?
I don't know. You've never seen the movies.
Yes, I
have. I want to point out, Craig didn't get interested
in
Indiana Jones until we took that trip to Indiana. And that's not why you started watching them, but there was a marathon
on
the hotel. Yeah, so you were like, oh, these are pretty good.
The state sounds familiar.
To get a full history on the state.
Where... yeah, just kind of like, I think that's a good start.
I like them. I like them. I've always liked them. They're also not my number one, but they're movies that I rewatch every so often. Not as often as I'm going to rewatch like Back to the Future or any of these other movies that we talk about. But I find myself, you know, coming back to them every now and then. If it's on, I'm going to sit and watch it. I feel like not that long ago I rewatched Crystal Skull.
Right.
And I was like, this movie is not good, but it's not as bad as the hate it gets. It's definitely the worst of the Indiana Jones movies, sure, but it's not like it's not Steven Spielberg's worst movie. You know what I mean? Like so I don't know.
I think after that movie came out, it kind of became like a commonly accepted thing. Like, oh, that movie.
It's okay for us to shit on.
I think it, you know what? I've never really thought about it, but you remember that period of time, like after the prequels came out, like that was like a common accepted thing. Like the Star Wars prequels are just bad and everybody knows it. And like people would say that about Crystal Skull, but I think like going into it with fresh eyes,
there's something with I can understand why people hate it because the writing feels different. The it seems less grounded and just more like a cartoon. And it also feels like it's not, I think all the Indiana Jones movies are kind of known for their cinematography and how they're shot and how they're directed. And Crystal Skull feels like they threw all that out. So I can understand, but.
Yeah. For me, it's the Shia LaBeoufness of it all. Like I can't stand when
I don't think he's, I don't think he's bad in that movie. I don't like Shia LaBeouf as a person. I don't think he's a very good person. But when I go back and watch Crystal Skull, he's not my issue with it. I think that character is fine. I mean, he's got that really dumb scene where he's swinging on the vines with the monkeys, and that is the worst. That's the worst thing in the movie.
Yeah,
that's not a character thing. That's a Steven Spielberg being like, let's make him be a monkey. Like that's.
I feel like he was doomed being like cast as a greaser. Like I just there's just something about it that's too try hard for me. And
yeah, he's like, hey, my dad's here. I'm gonna slick back with my comb and get on my motorbike. I think part of it also has to do with like this is a time where they're dead set on like we got to set up the future of the franchise. Here's where I'm at. You're going to set up possibly passing the baton to like the Indiana Jones' son. You would think that they would go with, I mean, look, it's Harrison Ford.
That's not guys, what they did though.
No, it's not. It's not. They didn't even pass the baton. The baton, they killed
him. But they don't even act like he's dead now, but they don't even act. I mean, Crystal Skull does not end with you thinking that's what they're doing.
Right.
It ends with Indiana Jones taking his hat back from Mutt and saying, nope. That's how the movie ends. Nope. That's literally how Crystal Skull ends.
Oh, yeah, man.
Truthfully, I put it on the other day and couldn't get past like 30 minutes of it.
Hey, you know what?
I like
what,
the
though?
Open, but
I don't like. You know how Nuke the Fridge became like a thing? I like the opening. I think it's fun.
Oh, I was there. I was totally there and following it. I should give finishing it a chance and see how.
I like the aliens. I like the scene with the ants. But yeah, other than that, it's not super memorable. I've rewatched that. I will put that on before I put on Last Crusade.
Hey, I would too. Last Crusade sucks. It's the worst.
So this is really interesting, and I want to pick your guys' brains on this. I've done my research. I'm going to act as the outsider.
Okay.
I'm the Tom Cruise. I did my research.
You do all of your own Scientology?
I do all.
That's Amy Schumer's joke.
Yeah, it was her joke. That was a funny joke from the 10 seconds of her new special we saw. Tom Cruise is really impressive. He does all of his own Scientology. Okay, that's funny. Mm-hmm. No, I did my research. It is a commonly accepted thing amongst the Indiana Jones fans, even the Hal Clays of the world, that Temple of Doom is the quote, it's hard to say worst, but the least good of the trilogy.
Fuck off.
Which is crazy because it's the
Empire.
The best.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's the best out of all five.
Musical opening, on point, pulls you in, great characters, sexual tension, like
Call
really
Hal.
Upsetting horror. It's great.
Call Hal?
I want to know which one's his favorite.
He's going to say.
Yep. Can we just get him on this call? Get him on StreamYard.
Yeah, I think for this conversation, we should. He's got even more.
How close the biggest in the Indiana franchise. Jones fan I know? Let's see if we can put him on the spot right now. You guys hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're in the middle of podcasting, but we had to call and ask you a question.
Okay.
What are you? Do you like Last Crusade or Temple of Doom more?
Temple of Doom.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Why is it that, as an expert on this franchise, why do majority of Indiana Jones fans prefer Last Crusade over Temple of Doom? Or do they not? Am I just dead wrong?
No, everybody loves Last Crusade better. Well, if they hate Temple of Doom, they think Lily Scott's the most annoying character ever, which I agree she is, but I still love everything else about this movie.
All right. So Hal likes Temple of Doom.
I'm with Hal.
Ask him what
that.
His favorite out of all of them are, though.
Well, what,
he can't hear me. You have
what's
to
your,
say that.
What's your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Temple of Doom, but I think Raiders is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It's like every it's Raiders, but it's Temple. Okay. Well, hey, thank you for chiming in on that.
Thanks, Hal.
You're welcome.
Okay.
We miss you.
Yeah, we miss you. Bye-bye.
I knew he'd say that because I watched all of these movies in the hotel room with Hal when we were in Indiana. Yeah.
When we were in Indiana.
We were watching Raiders when like the dude that looks like Hal comes out and like the scene is
the German mechanic?
Yeah, the mechanic dude.
Who's also in Temple of Doom? It's the same actor
that guy's
in
the
Temple
same,
of Doom. He's the big guy in Temple of Doom that gets sucked into the machine that's got like a roller thing on it,
right?
And squishes mm-hmm.
it. So it's the same dude. You know, I was doing that research I was talking about earlier.
That's why those are the two best movies.
I think part of it is Steven Spielberg has often come out and saying he does not like that movie. It's his least favorite. He made it at a time him and George Lucas were both in the middle of divorces. It's darker, it's scarier, it's not as hopeful. But I like Temple of Doom a lot.
That's why it's better. That's why better. And it does have a happy end. It's not like a dark. I mean, the movie's dark, but it has a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And it's also that movie also kind of shows Indiana's evolution of going from fortune and glory to this belongs in a museum.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Because it's a prequel and he has a little bit of a character arc mm-hmm. evolution of thought. By the way, sleeveless Indy is the best. That's the best look.
That's what I'm saying. You get prime Indy, like prime Harrison Ford. And I can't, what's the name of the actress?
Not,
Hal mentioned.
Not Karen Allen.
Yeah.
The other one.
She's annoying, but it serves the role of her being annoying and then them falling in love kind of, or at least having chemistry.
Yeah.
And I like that begrudging and annoying Harrison Ford very much. That's like my.
That's your Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm.
Also, the villain's eaten by an alligator in that movie.
Yeah.
It checks all those boxes.
Yeah.
God.
It does. And like when you compare it to Last Crusade, that's got like the father-son dynamic. You got the flashback in the beginning, which for me, I find that kind of hard to get through the like him being a kid on the train or whatever.
Is that River Phoenix?
Yeah. That's just cheesier and lamer, in my opinion, than Temple of Doom. I think Temple of Doom has maybe because they were going through difficult things, but. I think it makes it like a more badass movie.
Well, either way, we've got a new one. Might be the last one. Dial of Destiny. Let's get into this. So it's kind of crazy to me how popular those movies were, but they didn't. And because Harrison Ford loves those movies so much, it's crazy that they didn't make one from like 89 to 2000. They took a 20-year break and then it's taken another, 15, 16 years to get this new one out. They filmed it, pandemic delays, all the stuff. So it's finally out. I don't even want to get into like public reaction, box office. Like I just want to get down to the brass tacks of what we thought, where we are on Indiana Jones. Abigail, I'll start with you.
Okay. Where I am on Indiana Jones.
Like, Dial of Destiny.
Dial of Destiny. I've already given my full background of interest. And yeah, I did grow up on the movies too. I'll add that. Dial of Destiny.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask you that part.
It's okay. I'll cover it quickly. Those Indiana Jones movies were watched in our household. Temple of Doom was not allowed of all, like, because that one was like restricted, which is probably why I gravitate to it more now. And I remember specifically my parents saying when The Last Crusade was coming out, I remember them showing me like an ad in the newspaper. They're like, this is a good one that's coming out because this one's more Christian. So that's why I more than anything, I'm like, that's the lamest one.
Is it because?
One. Because it's a father and a son and it's.
And they're going to get the.
They're going to get the Bible shit. Like it's back to that, but it's really just more Nazis and like so the love interest is not as good. That's my deep sordid history. And I always, Harrison Ford's just always been a huge crush of mine. So I went back and watched them and have through my whole life.
Yeah. All right. Dial of Destiny. DOD.
Yeah.
I'll start. I can start. I went into this movie hoping for something fun. I think James Mangold is a great director from what I've seen. I haven't seen Ford versus Ferrari, but Logan's great. And we know that he's, you know, he's a capable director. I really liked this movie. I found myself thinking about it a lot since seeing it. I thought part of the fun of an Indiana Jones movie is what is the thing? What is the thing they're searching for?
MacGuffin.
What is the MacGuffin? Archimedes dial. Alchemy?
God damn
Al Capone's dial.
Did you not ever watch The Sword and the Stone?
No, I don't like things with swords and stones.
Oh, because like whatever the sorcerer's name, Merlin, his owl is named Archimedes.
All right, so yeah. Archimedes dial. Possible time travel implications. Movie starts off with a 20-minute flashback to World War II times. We have a young, de-aged Harrison Ford. I thought it was really effective. I thought it was a really fun way to start off the movie. Give you a little bit of, now that we have the technology to properly do a de-aging to the best of their ability.
Yeah, kind of.
We're getting
it's hard to get those eye reflections. Like,
it's
where the
better than it was.
From.
Yeah, it's better than it was 20 years ago. We'll say that. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. Although
I honestly expected it to be better than it was because there are times that it looks bad. There are a couple times where it does not look good. And I thought after that episode of Boba Fett with Luke Skywalker, I was like, they've done it. This is what the future of cinema is going to be going forward because they finally figured it out.
Yeah.
There's also shot where he's running on the top of the train that looks like the same quality as like the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yes.
Where he's running from building
the
to
body
building.
Looks like it's made of rubber. I know exactly
rubber,
what I'm talking about.
Rubber
the body
Ford.
Looks it looks like Gumby running across.
They started
the
building
train.
That years
I noticed
and
it.
Years
yeah.
ago. Yeah.
It, yeah, I get it.
It was
they
weird
it in the 40s.
Because it was weird because it felt like there were certain money shots that they were like, you gotta spend a lot of time making this shot look as real as possible.
Right.
But because of that, they had to like be like, oh, just darken that one up a little bit. There were a lot of scenes where I was like, ooh, that didn't look good. That didn't look good. Mm-hmm. Overall, it was fine, and it is better than other things I've seen. But I thought with Lucasfilm, Disney, and Steven Spielberg, it would have been tip-top. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was.
So you kind of open up with this flashback action sequence on the train, and then you know we don't have to break down the entire plot, but it does.
We don't have time to do that.
We don't have time to do
that. I was going
to
say we're coming up on another show, so let's.
But I do want to say I thought it was really effective cutting straight from that to 1969, old Indiana Jones. The you know the world's passing him by. Everyone's trying to go to the moon. He's no longer the. You know, if you think about Raiders, the first time you see him in his. Classroom and all everyone's just
I love you.
Oh yeah, the I love you on the eyelids. And everyone's captivated by what he's saying, and now these kids he's like at a community college.
The world's changed. You get that vibe right off the bat with
he's screaming at his neighbors. I loved that. Shirtless Indiana Jones at 80 years old screaming at his neighbors for playing the Beatles. It was good.
Which I would yell at him for playing the Beatles too.
Start it off. So you got Harrison Ford, Abby. What do we think? So Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she plays Helena Shaw, his granddaughter. Her character was way different than I was expecting because you got to remember the rumor in the internet would have you believe going into it that she was going to be like a woke activist who's trying to stop Indy from stealing things. That was like the you know the people who are always like Kathleen Kennedy.
Oh yeah, well people who haven't seen the movie and make guesses on it are usually like so right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's kind of stupid. Yeah, I didn't know what her relationship with Indy was going to be. I kind of guessed at like kind of a grandfather type of granddaughter dynamic, but I thought she was really refreshing. I thought she seemed like really capable. On screen, she was up to par with Harrison Ford's acting abilities. And she played off that, like, kind of looking at him like he is the old curmudgeon that's like a fish out of water. Like, she added to that aspect. And yeah, I like that she kind of became smarter and smarter as the movie went on, and like outwitted and got out of situations pretty easily, and was kind of like, I think as the audience, I could identify with her as like, she's going out with Indiana Jones for kind of his last mission, sort of like we're all watching his last movie. So
right.
I thought she was a pretty likable and like a pretty darn good character.
And I think that, and Jake, I want you to speak on that as well, but like part of the Indiana, he always has somebody with him. He's always gone on an adventure with, he's got some sort of sidekick. Well,
usually it's a love interest. Yeah.
Right. Well, not
or
a temple
child
time. Or a child. Right.
I liked the not really knowing if she was going to be a villain or like she keeps turning on him, and then she keeps, you know, she's like in it for herself and she's trying to steal the thing, and then they're buddies and then they're helping each other out, and then she's on her own again. You know what I mean? There was like a back and forth. Yeah. And I like that. I thought it was a good dynamic.
Yeah, she's not like one dimensional, just like serving the role of like little helper.
Well, also like she's helper. her father who went crazy, obsessed. I think his name was Basil. Obsessed with this dial. He was the one on the adventure at the beginning of the movie. It's the thing that drove him, you know, off the deep end. His obsession with finding this. So I thought that was like a good connection. I'm glad they didn't do like I'm glad that just was a straightforward thing. This is Indy's goddaughter. He hasn't seen her since she was 11. Let's go. There's not like a another twist, another reveal. I think sometimes they really overthink these movies.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe you were overthinking, like, what other twist would there be?
Like, I don't know. Like, it's revealed that
you're the one doing the
she's going to be Marion's kid?
I don't know. Maybe I'm the overthinker. I'm the overthinker. Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, so I'm glad I didn't do that.
All right. We'll get to Marion later because she has kind of a Janine Melnitz in Afterlife. Not Janine. Sorry. Dana.
Right. Yeah.
There's kind of that.
I mean, like, both of them, you know, not a lot of screen time. Although she's been doing interviews recently saying that the original script that Spielberg worked on, she was much more part of it, but whatever. They all say that.
Everyone's got something to say after.
Why? Right. Why didn't Spielberg direct this?
He's a really
done all of the other ones.
So I don't know. 'Cause it's not like he's literally directing award-winning movies still
right
in the last couple of years. So he was
it's weird that he wouldn't do the last one.
Googling. Let's see.
Let's call Hal again.
Why did I just,
what did you Google?
So I think I stopped typing the sentence and just clicked enter and I accidentally searched, why didn't Steven Spielberg direct Jaws 2? So unnamed source says it was a desire to pass along Indy's whip to a new generation to bring perspective to the story. Bullshit. It sounds like they probably told him no. It sounds like they probably were like, we need young friends. It's the same thing they always
sounds
do.
Like that was coming from Patrick from
Yeah, but Steven Spielberg does whatever he wants. Nobody's telling Steven Spielberg no.
Right.
Yeah, he lets the fucking E.T. ride stay. No one touches that.
I mean, he still produced it, and from what I've been reading, he was there every step of the way. Literally, that was a quote today I read. So, I don't know. Okay. I have no idea. The real question is, why did they spend $300 million making it? But that's probably...
You had to go back to, you know, the past. We should talk about that.
Well,
is now okay or should we wait?
Before we get, I want to talk about Mads Mikkelsen because he's a great actor. But Jake, I know we talked a little bit about his villain persona.
I mean, I think he's fine. I was a little underwhelmed by him in this movie, though. He's so like subdued and chill, and you're used to Indiana Jones villains being super over the top, like super crazy, and they always die in these like elaborate violent ways. And this dude was, I mean, he was a Nazi, so he sucked, but he was just like calm And he just died in a plane crash, you know? And I was like, I was never scared of him. I was never like, oh, this dude's crazy.
Right.
It was kind of agree. Okay. And also like Mads Mikkelsen, maybe we should stop casting him as villains. Cause it's getting to the point, like he's good at it, but it's getting to the point where it's like, oh, it's just the same guy playing everybody's villain.
I thought the story they came up with was really cool, which was, this was a guy who was a scientist who worked with the Nazis, who clearly has not gotten over the fact that they lost. But he ended up becoming one of the head NASA scientists that helped, you know, put these guys on the moon. Mm-hmm. It's a really interesting beat. I kind of feel like they didn't go far enough into exploring that. Like I wanted to see, like, I agree, like something more.
So you wanted the movie to be longer is what you're saying?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Long.
But no, give us less Harrison, or give us less.
Give us less Harrison Ford. In give this us goddamn less movie.
Of the digital Harrison, like the updated one. Like, do less of that.
Give us less of the boat scene.
Yeah,
and give us more of everything else.
I like the water stuff.
I was just going to point out.
I like the underwater stuff, but I hated like Antonio Banderas' character is completely pointless.
It kind of felt like they maybe cut some stuff out.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it was kind of like he's there. And then at first I was like, is that Antonio Banderas? I was like, and then he's dead, like really quick.
Yeah. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? What is he doing? And then they're just like, and then the director thought the same thing. Who the fuck is this guy? What is he doing? Let's kill him. So,
yeah. I was just going to say, in regards, cause Jacob, you mentioned the villain Madsen not dying in like a graphic, violent way. That, yeah. There was a definite, like, I missed the gory, gross factor, because that's always part of Indiana Jones movies. Like, you got a little bit of centipedes, like, crawling on people, or by, like, when they're in the cave or whatever that is. But there was not, like, a, oh, my God, I can't look at this. And when I watched Temple of Doom, it's like, I can't, there's at least four scenes I have to, like, a look lot away of it. From.
You can't look at Yeah, that's not just a Temple of Doom thing. In the first movie, the villains... face melts.
Yep.
Temple of Doom is tons of gory things. Last Crusade, somebody else faces melt. The other guy's like gets old really quick and his face melts. Every movie, somebody gets eaten by ants and Crystal Skull. Like somebody dies in a really crazy, horrific way in every Indiana Jones movie, except the new one.
So
in the new one, the villain dies in a plane crash in the background.
So yeah,
weird.
Like,
see
that shit.
This is the most classic YHS review where we all started by going, we really like this movie.
I love this. No, I listen, I did love this movie. But whenever you talk about movies you really like, the only thing you can talk about are your nitpicks, or else it's a boring episode. So
here's another nitpick. Everybody online this week talking about how far-fetched the ending is
that's what I wanted to get to.
They're ignoring part of it. Indiana Jones, there's sci-fi movies at heart, and there's always a science fiction paranormal
sci-fi adventure
element at some point. Not that this was paranormal, but so yeah, they eventually, through circumstance and stealing a plane and all that stuff, they end up going back to the you know 300 BC or wherever it is. And they're part of this, you know, this non-technology driven war where they think the airplanes are dragons. The scene where they meet Archimedes.
I love you. Alchemy is something.
I know what alchemy is.
Oh.
And right. I know about it all.
Okay. I love
it. It kind of felt a little like a Bill and Ted version. Where he just walks up and he's like, hey, and they're like, Archimedes. And then he's like, I'm dying, leave me here. And he's like, I'm doing this old dial thing. Let me get that watch. It felt a little too buttoned up. And like, I was waiting.
Of course, they're right there. Now they're right here. By the way, that's it was 212 BC, the Siege of Syracuse.
Yes, the Siege of Syracuse.
I know you mentioned that. So.
It felt a little bit like really buttoned up and inconvenient. But It did work for the story. I thought it was really cool earlier when they find his tomb and you see the watch and there's propellers on the birds and you know.
Yeah. And then that follow up with like, oh, he's got the watch on. That's how we all, this is like Bill and Ted level, like, oh, and of course it happened before when
right,
in time.
Right.
That stuff was pretty good. I actually thought I had my heartstrings tugged on when Indy was like, I want to stay back in this time period and not go back. Like that's where I thought what's the actress's name who's playing opposite? I can't.
Phoebe
Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Bridgers.
Phoebe Bridgers. The different. But yes, I felt like that tug of like, no, don't stay. You've got to come back and be with us. And so yeah, I thought that was kind of sentimental.
Him. I like it.
Yeah, she's tough.
What were you saying, Jake? Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
I didn't say anything.
I thought he was about to say something. So we all liked it. It's a fun adventure. I'm sure I'll revisit it once it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'd watch it again. I'd think about going back to the theater and seeing it again. It was fun. I liked the beginning. I liked all the train stuff. I liked when the last third of the movie when they get to the cave, because that feel, you know, they clearly was like, whoever wrote the movie is like, okay, we got to get Indiana Jones back into a fucking cave, and we need to make it at the end of the movie because it's going to be like, that's what Indiana Jones is him in a cave. So I liked it. I liked all that stuff. It was all fun. I thought there was some funny stuff in it. I think the set pieces are really crazy. And I think we talked about this on the phone, but like, even though they're in what is supposed to be the real world and they're in a parade, it's like the most fantastical looking parade you've ever seen. Like, it all looks insane. It looks like a painting, you know, everything just looks, it's very, very well choreographed, shot, direct. Everything's great. Like, it all looks like a classic Indiana Jones movie, and it's fun.
I thought the parade
kid's
scene
not
was
annoying.
Fun. The kid's not annoying.
I'm glad you mentioned that. The kid didn't annoy anyone. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of like the whole scene where he takes the horse and he's in the subway, like that's just like a fun, that's kind of what you want out of Indiana Jones. Like, and Harrison Ford's still really great. And there's definitely like a poignancy watching it because of we've been watching Harrison Ford our entire life. And he's 81 and I find myself sometimes distracted because I start getting a little sad being like, oh, this is the last one. There's not going to like this. It's not like Star Wars where, you know, they can make Star Wars movies forever. Like, this might be it. They might not really expand on this franchise at all going forward. They should. Mm-hmm. They should figure out a way to do it because it's a very meaningful and valuable IP, and I'm sure creative people could figure out how to do it. But knowing that this is our last time seeing Harrison Ford in this role, I felt myself getting a little sad.
Yeah. I don't think that it's over. I think that there will be some form of reboot because there's always money to be made.
hope it is over.
Yeah, The Adventures of Andy Jones. His granddaughter.
I hope they don't do any more. I hope it stays like this and this is it forever. I think that'd be cool to end it like that instead of cheapen it with somebody who's not Harrison Ford. There's been a lot of people who complain. They're like, I don't want to see Indiana Jones depressed and all that shit. And I'm like, he's not. He's depressed because his kid died, but they don't really focus on that at all. There's like very short, and the movie's 3 hours long, and they probably focus on Indiana Jones being sad about his kid dead for 4 minutes.
Right.
And three of those minutes are when he's talking to Marion at the end of the movie. Like the stuff at the beginning when he's like, you know, sleeping in his chair and he's annoyed at the people next door. Like all that is like, everybody has that in them. You know what I mean? Right. Like I'm like that every day when I have to get up and go to work, you know, like everybody has moments of like, ugh. That's not like being like Indiana Jones can't be like that. He needs to be fun.
Well, that's
all the
like
time.
The hero like, worship.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like,
that's
everybody.
That gets the headcanon. Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. That's why I liked it. I want to see Indiana Jones be a fucking. And you know what? He's like that in the other. He's always annoyed at somebody.
100%.
That's his thing. That's
well,
Harrison
that's Harrison
Ford's
Ford,
thing.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. All the interviews and clips of him over the last couple of weeks have been so much fun. He's so awesome.
Yeah.
So the movie's not doing exceedingly well at the box office.
Yeah, but that, I don't even know if that's worth talking about it, because we're in a time where no movies do good at the box office. Nothing right. does good. There's exceptions.
Sure.
But that's because fucking people want to watch movies streaming. People don't want to go to the movies anymore. Like, we've talked on YHS about the issue with straight to streaming movies and box offices, like, over and over and over. And the way, you know, you can go listen to any like Quentin Tarantino podcast where he talks about like the movies that get made now. It's strictly like blockbuster superhero type, you know, little movies don't get made anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to spend millions and millions of dollars on everything. And there's no DVD sales anymore. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, everything's losing money. Everything's fucking losing money because the system's
like, broken.
It's broken. I don't think it has anything to do with the movie itself.
But it does lead me to believe, though, there's certain studios who I feel like are gaining an understanding of that. I think Ghostbusters Afterlife is a really good example. $80 million budget to make a sci-fi action franchise movie. Like, what I'm saying is, if they're spending $300 million to make an Indiana Jones movie and another $200 million, if they're spending $500 million to get it out the door, it's unfair to the movie
to be like, why didn't you make that money back? Right.
It can't be successful. Yeah.
And I also don't even think it's anything to, like, who fucking cares? George Lucas, Lucasfilm, Indiana Jones, Disney, they have the money to lose. They owe it to us. If they want to spend the world's largest amount of money ever on a film, let them fucking do it, because they got the money. That just means we get a better made movie, hopefully. Who cares if it's losing some money? They're not making another one anyway. I don't care.
Hey, actually, that's the best point. They're not going to do another one anyway. Fuck it. Yeah, it leads me to think, like, we are at a time when we have been kind of seeing nostalgia-driven movies for the last, I don't know, 20 years, it feels like. And it kind of does feel like it might be time for somebody like Disney to maybe invest in a new original, like, there's got to be new original stories to tell. I would rather see some, instead of, like, 5 years from now, then be like, we're doing another Indiana Jones and we've cast whoever as the, like, because they can get the best actor in the world, that's a losing battle, right, more than likely. Right. Just do something new. Let this, because I think this is a good last adventure.
It can be something that pays homage to Indiana Jones. You know, sure. You don't have to come out and be like, hey, this is the new Indiana Jones, but you can sort of make it that. Just don't
be
on the nose about
it. Just don't copy it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or 5 to 10 years from now, they really perfect this de-aging and AI and everything else, and we just get a digital Harrison Ford. He's back, and it'll be way less. Hey, all I'm saying is they're going to try it eventually. Doesn't mean it's going to work, but at some point
they're going to try it with Star Wars first. That's a guarantee. Yeah. That's a guarantee. We're 3 years out from getting they're gonna do a show. It's gonna be a Disney Plus show, and it's gonna be the new adventures of Luke and Leia. And it's gonna be 6 episodes because they're gonna have to keep it short because it's an experiment, and it is going to be young Luke and Leia, and they're gonna see how it goes.
I fully expect Carrie Fisher to be in the Dave Filoni Heir to the Empire movie.
Yeah.
So. Well, listen, we got to wrap up here in a minute, but Abby, any other I know this is kind of an opportunity for us to dig into the movie a little bit. I do think it's a good final adventure. I've gotten caught up a little bit in the hype. I bought some of the toys. I got the retro figures. I kind of want the old indie hot toy just because I need a wise old man, Harrison Ford, on my mantle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do I stand on things?
Where do you
How
stand
do I
on,
feel? Well, I've
she watches these movies all the fucking
that's,
time.
Yeah, I got the zest back and like the yearning to watch them.
I yearn.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the movies are nostalgic and do bring back some good memories for me. And I like the very nature of a historian going and traveling on wild adventures and romances and action and scary stuff and gross stuff. Like that's Indiana Jones to me. And this movie had all those things, or at least most of those things. And I felt like it was a good send off, or at least a decent send off to Indiana Jones as a character. And I agree with you, Jacob. It would be great if they didn't try to reboot it and make it weird and terrible. Who knows though?
Here's my hot take.
I've been rewatching the movies though since seeing it in the theater. It just has jump-started Same. Things. Yeah.
Here's my take. Ready for this? Make another one with Harrison Ford. He's making Marvel movies.
Do another one.
He's literally filming MCU movies right now. It's not like Harrison Ford's like he literally he was on what's it 1854 whatever that 1923 we watched that Shrinking on Apple. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Do another one. We got one more. Indy 6.
They'd have to do it right now.
Indy 666.
Yeah.
He fights the devil.
Get your Bill Murray.
The Temple of Doom Part 2.
Yeah.
Return to the Temple of Doom.
Return of Short Round.
Temple of Doom.
Let him die in it. Get his heart ripped out.
But yeah, it's been really fun seeing Harrison Ford do all the press, and it's fun that you can go to the movies in 2023 and see an Indiana Jones movie. Might be your last chance. So I'm giving my stamp of recommendation. What was that?
Are you going again? Dropping things. I just fidgeting with things.
He fidgets. So okay, cool. Well, guys, thank you.
I'll spin that dial.
Ooh, yeah. Spin the dial. Mm-hmm. Remember that show Warehouse 13 that was kind of like a fake Indiana Jones?
Nope.
Yeah, it's a MacGuffin-based show.
They just work at a warehouse that basically the warehouse
every
that,
supernatural
the warehouse from Indiana Jones.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks. So that's what I want—an Office-like style single-camera sitcom about the guys who guard the. That was one thing I was going to say. Beginning of the movie, his archive. At the building,
yeah,
way too easy to break into this place.
Yeah.
Now, how about this? Do one more Indiana Jones crossover with Star Wars. He gets frozen in carbonite, and someone goes, "This belongs in a museum," and just carts him off.
Where Han Solo gets put in the museum, and he's discovered by Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
there's a. I literally own a comic book where. Chewbacca and Han Solo find a dead Indiana Jones.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Or wait, no. Indiana Jones finds a dead Han Solo. It's like he's searching for Bigfoot. And Bigfoot is Chewbacca.
Okay.
And like they're Chewbacca and Han Solo or like crash on I don't know, some dumb.
Now, by the way,
they
last
did it.
Thing.
There's a crossover.
I've never watched an episode, of Young Indiana Jones, but I think it's been added to Disney Plus.
It is.
There's a lot of books. I know there's an Atlantis book. I'm sure all the things you wanted Indiana Jones to go find and do are they exist in some form. So
there's lots of books, yeah. And I used to watch the show and I remember liking it, but I haven't seen it since I was, you know.
Well, the weird thing about the show is that it starts and ends with an old indie telling the story, but it's a different guy, except for one episode they got.
That would fuck with me. Yeah.
Well, he's like he's like 90 years old. He's like old Indiana Jones.
Right,
he's like missing an eye. He's got an eye patch and shit.
But there's one episode where they actually have Harrison Ford do it.
I think the one where they have Harrison Ford do it is a movie. They did a made for TV movie or something, and I think they got Harrison Ford for that one.
Wow, y'all know way more about young indie than me.
Abby, last question.
That's cool.
Best.
Maybe I'll
non-Star Wars, non-Indiana Jones Harrison Ford movie.
Non-Star Wars,
He's not in anything else.
That's all he's done.
I know. No. Shush. I know the movie. The One-Armed Man. That's not what it's called. The Fugitive.
Fugitive.
The motherfucking Fugitive. Jacob, have you seen it?
Nope.
You would like it.
I love that movie. That's probably mine.
It'll hold your attention. You don't want to be wrongfully accused. That's what the whole thing's about.
What's that other one? What's the one in the bathtub? The scary one?
Oh, What Lies Beneath?
Yeah, that movie's good.
That movie fucked me up as like a
Harrison Ford is in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good ass movie. These are two movies that I love that you should watch.
Him and Pfeiffer? She.
Yeah, Pfeiffer? Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer's in that?
Yeah, that dude, that's got some bath scenes that are really scary.
Hey, everybody, thank you for being part of the Patreon. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
Join us in 5 minutes where we go live.
Go watch that video if you're watching this later.
Oh, no, we're not live right now. They're going to hear this.
No.
I was wondering why we didn't get any comments.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.